Morning.
Morning.
Morning 146. This is why I go to 146. Look, they have ice biscuits. And they serve coffee from the beginning. I know not all of you can see this, but behind me there's a small table with a number of things on it, which will become clearer as we go along. And again, for the benefit of those in 146, there's a Jenga block tower. That will come get you all thinking, what on earth is he looking at? So today we're going to continue our series of prayer, and my topic is prayer as a lifestyle. And most things I'm going to talk about is basically how I do it. Now, today is the 19th of November, which is a very significant date for me. It would have been my mum's 99th birthday. No, hang on, I'm probably not right. Yes, on 98th birthday. Her birthday was the 19th of November, and she died Christmas Eve 2013. And then my dad carried on living, and he died on the 19th of November, about 11 months later. So 19th of November is a significant date to me. And I count it a privilege that actually I was there when they died. And it was interesting because I literally saw their last breath. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and he became a living person." Now, the Hebrew word for breath is ruach. I think quite a few people know that, which can be translated breath, wind, or spirit. And in the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "Just as the body is dead without the spirit, breath." And then Jesus, when he, after his resurrection, he was in a room with the disciples. John records, "And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." I mean, it was almost as if Jesus was reenacting what happened way back at the very beginning with Adam. Breathing, it comes naturally to us. You don't have to walk around thinking, right, I must breathe. And it only becomes an issue, really, when it becomes difficult or a challenge. Both my parents actually died of pneumonia, which was obviously a challenge to their breathing capacity. Now, as I mentioned before, and quite a few people know, I go swimming. And I'm one of those people that put their face into the water. And so I have to make sure I breathe. And so when I swim, I kind of do so many strokes, breathe, so many strokes, breathe. And occasionally I try and push myself. So I'll try and do a length with, say, only two or three breaths. You know, a bit of a challenge. And you get to that point in the pool where you can, with your goggles on, you can see the end, and you've had your last breath you're going to take, and you're thinking, gotta go, I'm going to do this. And you can almost feel that your body is kind of fighting you. You've got to breathe. No, I'm going to manage. You've got to breathe. No, I'm going to manage. I mean, you could say that breathing is a lifestyle. If you don't do it, you die. So, what about prayer? What if it could become like our breathing? If we don't breathe, we die. If we don't pray, we... I don't know. I'm leaving that open for you. So, the Jenga Tower. I presume lots of people have played this. Are you one of those people, when you're playing it, that deliberately try and move the blocks away from the bottom? You know, because at the bottom there's three. Are you the sort of person who thinks, I'm going to try and move that one and leave it standing on one and it wobbles so the people haven't got a chance? See, you know, like any building, it needs a firm foundation. And I put it to you, prayer is a firm foundation. So what is prayer? I mean, we've been talking about it now for 4 or 5 weeks. What is it? I think at its simplest, it's a conversation. And what's involved in communication or conversation? Talking and listening. So I'm going to explain a few things that I do in my life. And I want you to remember that I am, like you, a WIP. A work in progress. So I haven't got it sorted. So, if you're going to make a plan or an effort to put prayer into your life, like anything you want to do, it has to be intentional. It doesn't just sort of fall on your lap. I mean, I know lots of us have got hobbies and activities and skills. We've got kids at home. We've got to get them to do their homework. And it's just developing that realization that these things doesn't just happen. Prayer doesn't kind of go, you know, and just pray the prayer, make me a prayer, and bang, hey, presto, there I am. There is actually an exercise of the will and an effort. So what resources do we have available? There's one, a huge one, because this book is filled with prayers. They're everywhere. And if ever you are struggling to know what to pray, find the prayers that people pray in the Bible. I mean, I just get lost in the Psalms. Not everyone enjoys the Psalms, because to me, there's so many verses in the Psalms that can literally be turned into prayers. And Exhibit A, a minion book. During COVID, because we were all kind of confined to our homes, I don't know, I got this idea of writing down prayers. I was brought up in the kind of Anglican church, and they have lots of written prayers. And it's interesting, as life goes on, I start to appreciate some of those written prayers. For all of you who come to Sunday at 4, we have a written prayer which we read every week. And actually, I find it really helpful. Because sometimes you come to pray and you're thinking, what am I going to say? So to have a written prayer, which has a bit of thought behind it, helps. So in this book here, I have a written prayer for each, for my wife and for my 5 children, which will have to increase now because 2 of them have got married. And it's interesting, but I say they're 3 years old now, and every so often I go back to it and I'm thinking, is that still the prayer I want to pray for them? And it is. But I've noticed, particularly in this year, I've started, post-its. I've started adding bits on, like for Daniel and Nayeli, need a new car. So, written prayers. Sometimes it's good to write them down and have them there. Next one. My daily routine. So I am a person has again, quite fixed routines. It's how I live my life. I can go from one thing to the next to the next. I don't like a day where you wake up and you're thinking, there's nothing planned. That's frightening to me. So every morning I get up, go downstairs, make the cup of coffee, go back upstairs with my coffee, I drink it, and I read the Bible. Now, people sometimes call this a quiet time, a time with God. But again, it's one of these blocks at the bottom of the tower. You need to make space in your day, wherever it's best for you, because some people are morning people, some people are evening people. It doesn't matter how long it is. You need to have, I think, and I think the Bible would support that, a day, a time in every day where you sit with God and your Bible and your coffee or tea. You can't get away from that. There's something in that discipline. And we know from Jesus' life, you know, records in Luke, very early in the morning, he got up and he went away on his own to pray, to be with God. And I think that's something you just can't get away from. Next part in my day, so I have my coffee, my Bible, I get ready, I get in my car, and off I go to work. It's about a 35-minute journey there, about an hour coming back. And it's interesting, because I've only been driving to work for the last 6 years. Prior to that, I could walk to work, which is quite useful. And over the time, I don't know why particularly this has worked out, but I pray in the car. And on certain days of the week, I pray for different things, like Monday, it's Catherine, it's my wife. Tuesday is the five children and their partners. Wednesday is friends further away. And then Thursday and Friday kind of follow on from what's happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Or if I've got the radio on, there might be something on the news. And I just have that habit of praying as I go in the car to work. In fact, it's become such a habit. When I get in the car and I go somewhere, I almost just want to start praying, regardless of who's in the car. And over the last 6 years, it's interesting. I'm a very visual person. So I'm driving and I see things. And sometimes, I mean, I don't know, I know some people do this. You see the ambulance, quick prayer. You see the police car, fire engine. Or you sometimes I'm driving along, and every day, because I'm quite routined, I drive, and actually I need to recognize registrations of other cars who are doing the same thing at the same time as me and going to work. And then there are people that you think, oh, the bus stop. You see, and you're thinking, these are individuals. And I pray for them. I don't know who they are. I might never, ever see them. But they are important to God. Another thing which has come along is car registration numbers. And sometimes you read it and go, oh, I don't know. This is how my mind works. And sometimes they spell words. So, Jacks. You wouldn't believe it how many times I've seen a number plate with J-A-X on it. And so I've gone, there's a hint. So I pray for Jacks. The other day, I was driving, and quick kind of interlude here. I was at work on Tuesday. I made a mistake, and I was kind of talked to by my manager. Talked is kind of not the correct word. I was told off. So the next morning, I'm driving to work. And he's called Dan. I'm driving to work. I'm going down a roundabout, down into where the old it used to be a huge B&Q, didn't it? It was all being closed down. I was driving down there. This car pulls up next to me. In the registration is the word Dan. So I think, okay, I'll pray for Dan. And it's amazing. There was another time I was driving onto the motorway, and I was thinking, it was for the holiday club, what can I paint for the holiday club? And this huge lorry went past, and on the side of it was this lion. Which I painted it, and it was in there for a while. It's now rolled up somewhere. But it's just, I'm kind of aware, it's made me kind of aware that there's a world out there, it's there, it's happening, and God can use anything to get my attention. Next thing, exercise or activity and praying. Now, some people, and my wife's like this, like to get like a little cozy corner and a chair and a blanket and a nice drink and their Bible and sort of snuggle down, and that's where they have their prayer time with God. It doesn't work with me. I try and do that, my mind is... So I'll go for a walk, go for a swim. I actually get up and do something and walk around. Some people like to walk the dog and pray, Hoover and pray. Think of that one. There's all kinds of things. I mean, if ever my two boys at the minute, Michael and Jonathan, my youngest two, are in Kiverton playing football. And if ever you go to a football game and you watch the parents, they're all static down the side. Not me. I'm walking and pacing up and down, partly because my insides are turning with the boys on the pitch, but I'm praying. Yes, I'm praying for the football game, I admit that. And I'm praying that my boys will do well. But I know whenever I'm praying, I just can't keep still. So my challenge would be to you is what works for you. It might be that you like your cozy corner, have a special place, or you might be walk the dog and pray, run and pray. My friend John O'Brien goes to his spinning class and says to me, when he's spin, you know, his body's actively working away, and he prays. So exercise and prayer. So prayer's a lifestyle. You know, there's quite an annoying verse in the Bible. Well, there's actually quite a lot of annoying verses in the Bible. But this one is from Paul, says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, just two words in that verse, pray continually. And part of you goes, that's impossible. I can't pray continually. And I think it's the challenge, is we weave the conversation that we have with God, we weave it and integrate it into all different aspects of our life. And you can pray wherever, whenever, however. I think God is quite keen to hear us. He wants that dialogue. He wants that communication. And this next point, I think, is quite crucial too. If you think, right, I want to do something about my prayer life, I want to take it up to the next level, I want to get more serious with it and construct it and develop it, you need some kind of buddy, prayer buddy, prayer friend, somebody that can you can not necessarily pray with, but that's useful, but somebody who can be, come and ask what I call the awkward question, you know, so how's your prayer life then, Steve, you know. And I think it's important that we don't think we're going to do this on our own. It's like our own Christian life. There ain't no lone rangers in the Christian community. We need each other. I know some of us, you know, sometimes we find people difficult, but we do need people amongst us. It's definitely a team game, to use the football acronym, a team game. So with that in mind, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you an illustration of what I'm actually doing now in my prayer time. And then I'm not going to have you sitting here watching or listening to me. You're going to get involved as well. So, at the minute, I'm on Psalm 119, which is quite the longest book in the Bible. And if you know the psalm, it's divided into sections which begin with the different letters of the Hebrew alphabet, or the consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And as I'm reading through it, I'm finding there are verses every so often that seem to kind of, I'll use this word, resonate with me. They kind of go, ooh, that's kind of something that seems to be quite important for me. So you can get open it if you want to, but I don't have to, but verse 36 is one that's resonated recently with me. And it says in verse 36, I'm reading you from the NIV, turn my heart towards your statutes. Let's give you a fright. Turn my heart towards your statutes, not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Now, that's personal to me. That involves a few things in my own life which I'm thinking about. And it's interesting, that then can become a prayer. I can pray that, you know, Father, turn my heart towards your statutes, your laws, your principles, your values, and not towards selfish gain, not to be thinking about myself and how I can get something out of that. and worthless things. I don't know, as I'm getting older in life, I look around at my life, there seems to be so much stuff in my life. I'm thinking, why have I got that? What's the point of it? What does it do? I'm going to end up being a minimalist, I think. But anyway, you keep thinking, what's that function in my life? And so that's one verse that's been speaking to me. And then verse 66. This verse actually was many, many years ago. I went to be with a missionary group called YWAM, Youth for the Mission. And when you went into your room on your bunk bed, someone had stuck a verse and just punned it up. And it's just, again, it's a verse that's stuck with me all my life. And the verse says, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands." And I don't know about you, but knowledge and good judgment, I need it in every area of my life. Everything. You know, there's so many things in my life where I'm thinking, I need to know about this. I need more information. I need more understanding. And I need good judgment to make wise decisions. So that verse really counts for me. And then this one, this is this week's hot off the press. Verse 125 in Psalm 119. "I am your servant." That's kind of a declaration, really, of my relationship to God. "Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes." I need discernment. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about myself and I think about the things that I do in all situations, increasingly I feel that my motivation is coming under scrutiny. Why am I doing that? You know, am I doing it for selfish gain? Am I doing it so that I can get a bit of a kick out of it? Why am I doing it? And it's almost as if I need God to give me understanding of my own motivations and desires. That's kind of where I am with that verse. So, what I'm going to do, and what we're going to do, is we're going to have a moment of quiet. Now, I used to be a teacher many, many years ago. And one of the things we used to do was teaspoon prayers. Looking at me, not quite a teaspoon, but it's got TSP on it. T, thank you. S, sorry. P, please. Again, another little help. So what I'm going to ask you to do, we're going to have a moment's quiet, and I want you to think of, is there something to thank God for? Is there something to say sorry for? Is there something, please, a request? Okay? We're going to think for that, just for a moment, have that, and then In your own mind, just make a simple sentence out in your head. And then we're going to pray them. Now, we're going to pray them quietly in your own head. So first of all, have a think. Is there something I want to be thankful for? Something I need to say sorry for? Something that I need? Have a moment. Okay, now quietly in your own heart, say that prayer. Okay. So finally, again, another question to you, and something for you just to, again, just think in your head, in your heart, On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life? And I think sometimes we have to sit down and be honest with ourselves. Could I pray more often? Have I got a moment in the day? What am I doing when I'm driving the car? Listening to the radio? Or walking the dog? Or going for that run? Or hoovering? Whatever the activity is. How often do I use the Bible to help me with my prayer life? And who in my life is asking me that question? Who alongside me is coming and saying, so, how is your prayer life doing? What are you praying for? So, I want to finish with a bit of a response. And 146, you haven't been forgotten. So, in 146, there's a little booklet like this, and there's some wooden sticks in it. But for you lucky people, you've got a Jenga tower. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a song, looking at Steve, a couple of songs. And in that time, if you think, yes, today I want to put like a pole in the ground, I want to make a determination, I want to make a decision, I'm going to take my prayer life up to the next level and weave it and integrate it more into my life. If you think, yes, I want to do that, come out and take one of the blocks. Don't take it from the bottom. Other people might want one. Just take a block and keep it. And in 146, take one of those little wooden battens. Okay?